This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Secure Give, the leading provider of safe and simple giving software for churches and charities that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I want to especially welcome you if this is your first time tuning in, whether on the radio or on stewardship.com or on the iTunes podcast. The phone number is 866-357-3283. Again, the number is 866-357-3283. That is a free call. And of course, you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Folks, why do we have this show? Why do we spend this time every day, Monday through Friday, to talk about what we talk about? Well, Psalm 50, verse 12 says, "If I were hungry, I would not even tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it." So God tells us. And so that's why we have this show. Because so many things that we say and so many things that we do communicate otherwise. They communicate that we're the owners. And we're not the owners, we're the managers. And I think it's pretty cool that the creator of the universe trusts us enough to manage the things that we get to manage. Not just things, but people and relationships, those kids of yours. So let's make sure we keep that in mind. And hopefully this show helps you in that journey. All right, well, we are ready for your calls. The phone number is 866-357-3283. This first call comes in from Ryan, and he's calling in from Kansas City, Missouri. Ryan, how are you?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, I'm honored. How can I help?
It's an honor to speak with you. My question is, should we sell our house? And so I'll just run some facts by you, and you just tell me when to be quiet. And
okay.
So just feel free to interrupt me whenever.
Okay.
So we have we've paid down our student loans from $115,000 to $30,500.
Wow.
Over the 4 years. And we have no other consumer debt except for our mortgage.
Okay.
We'll pull in probably around $90,000 in income this year. Last year we pulled in somewhere over $120,000. So we've taken a little bit of a dip. And right now we owe about $114,600 on our home. Mm-hmm. And we had a real estate agent gave us some specs on our home, saying that he could have a selling price for $150,000.
Market analysis.
Yes, a market analysis.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
So we figure that after worst case scenario, after all closing costs and cost of moving and any cost that we incur and as a direct result of selling our house, we would probably profit around $25,400, and then we would rent. And so this would then wipe out a majority of our debt. So should we sell our house?
So you're living on $90,000. Why the dip from 120 to 90?
We basically lost a client.
Okay.
And we had anticipated this happening. We had taken steps to kind of prepare for it. And all that money bringing in was not essential to living. It was all gravy. It was all, going towards our debt.
Well, I can tell because you're paying off your debt at a pace of $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
Well, and you lost $30,000.
But the most of the drop in the debt was probably in the last year and a half. That's when my wife and I have both became really serious about paying off the debt. And we just had our second child. So we have two children. So they're not in daycare. So her and I both work, but we juggle them in between us, watching them at home while we both, both go out and bring in the income.
Well, if your intensity has picked up at the end and you've gained that kind of ground, that tells me that you'll have this thing paid off in the next 9 to 18 months. And if that's true, then I would not move.
Yeah.
I mean, that you're looking at 25,000 and you said you're going at about that pace. That'd be about what you'd do in a year. So it's not, I don't know if it's worth all the moving and the closing cost and doing that twice. And especially when you got two kids at home, to do the move when you could be done with your debt within a year.
You know, looking at from your perspective, you're looking from the outside in, you know, so this is good for us to hear this. From us looking from the inside, we're like completely exhausted and just probably impatient about getting it paid off. And so that's why we're wanting to just say, okay, let's just, you know, over the next few months, work at selling our house, you know, go grab a rental and just be done. And,
well, Ryan, there's one thing I can't measure. And what I can't measure is that what you just said.
Yeah.
And that is how much this is driving you bananas, number one. And number two, I can't measure how much worth that home has to you or doesn't have to you. And what it sounds to me is the value that you're placing on getting out of debt quicker is bigger than your value that you put on the house, which is completely fine. And if that's the case, then yes, I would move.
You would?
Yeah.
So you don't think it's a bad move?
No, I don't think either one's a bad move, because what's winning for you is the intensity. And if you're out of debt completely within the next year, you paid off $115,000 in under 5 years. That's a big deal. You guys are a big deal. That's awesome. Just it's up to you on whether you want to move or not. But I think you guys have the intensity and the proven ability to earn income. I just think it'd be easier for you to strategize how to pick up another great client than how much energy it would take to move and to sell a house. And it'd be easier to pick up another client.
Yeah, it would be. But I'd like to go back to getting at least 6 hours of sleep a night, too.
Again, another variable I did not know.
Right, exactly. So it's probably hard for me to convey like our frustration,
that,
you know, and everything that we've been going through to get it paid off.
Yeah.
I mostly just wanted to like know that it isn't like we're just not being completely irrational here.
No. And I think when you know, either way, you're intense regardless. Proverbs 6:5, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. You're doing that either way. It's just two different ways to run. You're running from the hand of the hunter two different ways. And I don't think there's something wrong with either one of them. So I think it's up to you. But based on now some of those other variables you told me, that if I were in your shoes, I would be selling as well. And I'd be kind of downsizing my mortgage. At least that portion of my budget would be shrunk quite a bit.
And we're so sick of debt, actually, with a rental and then building our income back up. We think we could probably put away somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000 a year and just pay cash for a house in the next like 3 or 4 years.
Well, you know I'm on board with that. So you just keep going down that road. I love that. I just want to make sure, Ryan, I'm talking to not only you right now, I'm talking to both of you, and you're on the same page. You are?
Yes. In fact, my wife's listening to me talking to you right now, and she's nodding.
Good.
I love it.
Oh, here's the deal. You guys are obviously winning, and you are on a great track, and you are making these last 4 years, you were making a very just great steps. I would say even leaps towards leaving a tremendous legacy. So I want to invest into your life. I'm going to have you stay on the line, and Amanda's going to send you a free copy of The Legacy Journey.
Perfect.
You and your wife need to start reading that, because that's exactly where you're headed. You guys are going to leave a tremendous legacy for those two kids, and we're cheering you on.
Oh, thanks, Chris. I really appreciate that. That means a lot. And thank you for everything that you do and the entire organization. So we really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank you.
Well, folks, that is a cool call. Aren't you just inspired by that kind of intensity? That is awesome. Love it.
We know that church leaders have big vision to impact lives, but usually don't have enough resources to make it happen. So if you could make it easier to create a culture of generosity in your church, wouldn't you do it? SecureGive is a leading provider of safe and simple giving software that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It also has direct integration with the most popular church management systems, allowing automatic reconciliation. Nearly one-third of the top 100 churches in the U.S. use SecureGive. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at SecureGive.com.
My name is Chris Brown, and you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Phone number is 866-357-3283, and this next call comes in from San Diego, California. This is Tara. Tara, how are you?
Hi, Chris. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, I have a couple of major purchases to make soon, maybe one more sooner than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And they're competing for my my savings.
Okay.
And I don't know which comes first, and I could use some help.
Yeah, no, of course. What are the
prioritizing the two major purchases?
Yeah, what are they?
Well, I had been saving for a car. I want to pay cash for my next car.
Okay.
In 2 to 5 years. The car I drive now is fine. So there's nothing wrong with it.
Okay, so but right now, as of right now, that's in the last priority. That's second. It's the second place
Alrighty
to the
then.
I don't even know what the first one is, but if it doesn't need bought now, you don't need to buy it yet.
Okay, well, okay. Then maybe this is a non-issue, but mm-hmm. the first priority, I guess, would be, I know this is going to sound silly, but it's a bed. It's a unique bed, and it's costly.
Okay.
And it's for my neck, back, and shoulders, and it's, some would consider it a foolish purchase because we're talking anywhere from $6,000 to $12,000.
Okay.
And that's going to wipe out, you know, a third to half of my car savings. And I don't know how soon I can get my car savings back to pay for the car when it's time.
Mm-hmm.
So I really could use some wise sage advice.
Yeah. What's your income?
About $64 a year.
Okay. And what is the savings that you have? How much?
It's about $15,000 right now. That's different from my 3 to 6 months of living expenses. So that's already been achieved.
Okay. And do you have any consumer debt currently?
No.
Okay. All right. And
I do have a mortgage, and I am trying to make extra payments on that to get it gone in about 9 to 10 years.
Okay. And are you contributing to retirement yet?
I am, 15% of my income.
Good. Good. Very good. So tell me a little bit about this car. How much mileage does it have, and is it having any problems or anything?
It's 190,000 miles.
190?
190.
Wow.
It's 16 years old, and I just dumped about $2,500 into it this year.
Wow.
And things like timing belts, you know, the stuff that should go wrong has gone wrong. It's not problematic.
Yeah.
It's been a good car, and I find it cheaper to keep it alive than to, you know, get another one. I couldn't buy it new again if I wanted it. So.
Wow. Well, you're right about that. So what would you replace it with if you had to do it today?
I want another one like it.
Okay. Okay.
I like it a lot.
And what would the price point be?
New, about 32, 34.
Well, we wouldn't want you to buy new. How about 4 years old? Without that model, 4 years old, how much would it cost?
Probably about 20, 25.
Okay. So you've got an expense coming up in the next, at least probably the next 36 months of that much. And then you've got this bed. Now, clinically, do you have any doctors telling you need this bed or a salesman?
No. No, nobody. Nobody. I've just been crazy. I've been through 12 beds in 15 years. I only paid for two of them, so I'm into this about $5,000. I need to sleep at night. And your last caller said, you know, he's lucky to get 6 hours of sleep a night. That's my story.
Yeah.
Five to six. And so I feel my health is compromised, sleep deprivation, things like that. So I'm very motivated to do something about this.
Yeah. And do you think it's a physical thing or do you think it's emotional or stress?
I think it's physical.
Okay.
I think it's physical. I just can't get comfortable in a bed and I have body issues. So I think this is the bed, but, you know, how foolish am I? How misguided am I really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if I were in your shoes, okay, I think if you put either one of these ahead of the other priority wise, it wouldn't be wrong or right. So let's get that out of the way. Now it's just which one's a slightly better decision. And if I were you, I would get more clinical background to the need for this mattress because possibly there's a land in between. I think you said $6,000 to $12,000.
Yeah.
There might be a land in between. I don't know. I know that I have a really nice mattress and it's been the best gift I've ever had in my life. Like my wife got it for my birthday 2 years ago and I'm telling you, it gives back every day. I mean, what else gives back 8 hours a day? So but I also don't want to leave you stranded without a car either. So I think, you know, it's funny that I made that joke right on the beginning of the call that the car is second place, but I didn't know enough information, so I said that too fast. But with 190,000 miles and your replacement being an estimated $25,000, I would put the car first while getting clinical background on the bed. And you know, as you're putting together sinking funds for both, you know, I think when you get to the point where you actually have the money in the bank on top of your emergency fund, you have this, let's just say $9,000 right in the middle for the bed. At that point, you make the decision, do I go out and buy a $9,000 car, or do I buy a $9,000 bed, or do I wait on both and wait till I have $25,000 for a car? Or, you know what, do I just settle for a car that's not $25,000? I don't know. You got lots of options there. The fact is you put yourself in a position where you do have options. Many of the people listening in right now don't. And I think a lot of times in life, what we do is we try to do everything on our own wisdom for as long as possible. And then prayer is a last resort. And we do that last. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And I just think so many times it's good to seek wisdom for sure. But I would definitely make sure you pray about this decision before instead of after, like 6 months from now or a year from now. I think he'll give you some clear direction. But if I were you, I would be more concerned about transportation that's going to get me to my work, which creates the income for me to be able to have a bed before I would do the bed. That's just me.
That's clear. Okay. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Tara. Well, folks, if I told you there was only one thing you could do to save hundreds of dollars right now, would you do it? Well, of course you would. Well, a crazy number of people overpay for insurance without even realizing it. The question is, are you one of them? I know insurance, it's not the most interesting thing in the world. No one gets up in the morning and is like, yes, I want to talk about insurance. If you do, I'm a little concerned for you, but hang with me for just a minute, okay? It is easy to save hundreds of dollars on insurance. The trick is to find an independent agent that works for you, not for the insurance company. Did you get that? They work for you to track down the best policies for your family and for your budget. You might be thinking, you know, that's great, Chris, but I don't know any independent agents. Well, the thing is we get this question so often that we created the Endorsed Local Provider Program. We have a network of agents who are local experts with the heart of a teacher. They won't treat you like a number. They're not just looking to sell you stuff. They provide top-notch service that you can trust. It's absolutely free. All you got to do, go to stewardship.com, click on Find an ELP to get connected with an independent agent that's in your area. And if you do, hey, call or send an email to us. Let us know how much you saved. I'd love to hear how you guys are winning with money, and I'd love to share that with our listenership here at Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
We're thankful to have you with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. From your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
And this next call is coming in from Atlanta, Georgia. This is Mary. Mary, how are you?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I am better every day. How can I help?
30 years married. My husband's been out of work for 5 years. Underlying question is how to encourage him to discontinue tobacco products, alcohol products, to help us really get momentum on our snowball. Debt snowball. So we have completed the SPU just, you know, a couple months ago. So I think we've made some good mental hurdles there. So just haven't heard any kind of discussion along this line on Dave's show or even in the SPU class. So just wanted some more opinions or any kind of encouragement y'all might steer us in.
Yeah, Mary, I'm sorry that you're having to deal with this. Is this addiction the reason why he's not working, or is that something different?
No, I think during our age, we're 58, and in the past, he's got shoulder problems now. I think he's just lost self-esteem and even being in the workplace with some of the health things that are starting to happen, and I think they're gaining momentum by sitting around too much, too. So, and I've asked him, let's go ahead and get shoulder surgery if that's what's required, if that's what's holding him back. But he just kind of shutting down on the whole subject. So
yeah, is this creating tension in your relationship, or are you kind of just keeping a distance?
I'm not keeping a distance. He's keeping a distance because it's just that husband wife dynamic.
Yeah.
It's the wife. I mean, I want him to be the leader. I don't want to get in the position of overriding him in a lot of decisions.
Yeah.
So.
No, I get that. I get it totally. My guess is there's something deeper here. Either A, there's something deeper, or because of the addiction, that he's lost a little bit of his confidence because he knows it's a problem. But, you know, as far as any alcohol-related advice, I don't have any. But dealing with addictive behavior and dealing with a loss of self-esteem, and I hate to say this, Mary, but unfortunately you can't make anyone do anything. So it's really going to be his decision, because the first step to breaking any habit would be a commitment to stop. And ideally, it'd be at a commitment to the Lord. If he's walking with the Lord or his spiritual life is in a good spot, which probably it's not right now, but ideally, the commitment would be not to himself, not even to you, it'd be to the Lord, because it obviously would hold a little bit more regard. Secondly, I would tell folks to, you know, find what your triggers are. What are the causes, either internally or externally? What are the things that are causing this kind of behavior? Another thing, Mary, I would say would be, you know, if you guys have this conversation and it's rocking and rolling and you're like, you feel like you're getting somewhere, I would set some goals. I would set some clear expectations on what does success look like? Is it cutting cold turkey? Probably not. Is it decreasing intake, maybe 50% in the first month and 75% in the month two? But having those clear expectations. And then, of course, there's the basic stuff of making sure you remove the substances from the premises, avoid environments where, you know, this kind of behavior is happening. It might even be some of the friends he's hanging out with. Avoid people who are involved in the same kind of behavior. And then if it is stress-related, if it's some kind of stress, you know, folks listening in, if you're dealing with the same situation, avoid high-risk situations if you can. Well, yeah, find a replacement way to handle those triggers, like a hobby or an exercise, or a different way to relax or whatever it is. But I would just try to find an alternate way and even allow some other treats, you know, enjoyable but not so harmful. The husband's always looking for respect. And so whenever you start to bring this stuff up, it really steps on their ego. And so it sounds like you've got a very level head about this and you're very self-aware about how you come across. I don't know if you're necessarily going to be able to help him with all that until he has a commitment to stop. But one of the things you can do immediately, Mary, is to lead him to atmospheres where he can be awakened spiritually. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart. Check this out. That I might not sin against you. So the word is in the heart. I've got this fresh experience from God. God's spoken to me in a real tangible way that I might not sin against you. That's the tail part. So if we want to stop in one direction some behavior, we've got to get more of the good stuff. We've got to have this displacement happen where we have more good in so that we can filter out the bad. And I feel like if you can get him into some other environments where a third party can kind of pull that weight for you, that'd be very advantageous. And start relying on God instead of substance.
Amen to that.
Yeah, so get him in some spiritual environments and then let God do it.
Right. Well, that's it. God's got to do it all.
Yes, he does. Mary, do you mind if I pray for you real fast?
Sure, go ahead, please.
Okay. God, I pray right now that you would just give Mary the wisdom mixed with boldness to stand on your word and to know what you say and your promises and to relay those promises to her husband, that he would claim those not for Mary, but claim them for himself. I pray, God, that you'd restore his self-esteem, that you'd restore his self-respect, and you'd restore his passion and desire to lead the family like it was when they first got married. God, I pray that you'd work in this situation. We do relinquish all control to you. Your Bible says that we are to cast our cares upon you, and so we're doing that now. And I pray, God, that you give Mary the strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chris.
And Mary, we appreciate the call.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, folks, I got an email here from Holly. It says, I owe $5,000 on a used car that has over 100,000 miles. I have $9,000 in savings. Should I use half of that savings to make a one-time payment or keep saving and paying off this loan? And this has given me sleepless nights when I think about it, and I'm not sure what I was thinking when I made this stupid purchase. I earn $1,000 a week, and my expenses are about $600 to $800 a week sometimes. Should I keep paying monthly or wipe this sucker out now and start my savings all over again? I'm desperate for an answer. All caps. Thank you very much. Well, Holly, I've got some great news for you. You ready? You will be debt-free by the end of the day. Pay that thing off. And then drive it as long as possible while you not only save up $7,000 for an emergency fund, but an additional amount for your next car that will be bought in cash because, Holly, that's now how you roll. Folks, don't forget to head over to stewardship.com, enter the $20,000 rainy day giveaway. For a few more days, we're giving away $5,000 to one person each week this month. Again, that's stewardship.com. Just click the link, submit your information, and you'll be all entered to win. Folks, it has been a pleasure. Until next time, let's manage God's blessings God's way for God's glory.